that's the beauty about our job is like, you know, when you reach a certain level, you think that, you know a lot, but more you know, less you know, in fact, and so many things to discover. For me, my sweet spot is between tradition, innovation, and excitement. I think if you find a middle spot on this, you have, with the tradition, you have a high chance to score high when it comes to taste, pleasure of eating, and also look of the dishes. And the innovation will bring this little zest of something quite difficult to describe, but that make your food different, that make your food unique, and that make your cuisine yours.
Herzlich willkommen. Mein Name ist Daniel Fürk und ich freue mich sehr, euch heute zu einer neuen Episode Gin & Talk begrüßen zu dürfen. Mein heutiger Gast ist Julien Royer. Der in Frankreich geborene Spitzenkoch gehört zu den einflussreichsten Vertretern der internationalen Fine-Dining-Szene. Mit seinem Restaurant Odette in Singapur hat er sich nicht nur 3 Michelin-Sterne erkocht, sondern auch einen Ruf als jemand erarbeitet, der französische Kochkunst mit asiatischer Präzision und großem Respekt vor den Produkten verbindet. Aktuell ist seine Küche auf Reisen. Im Rahmen einer kleinen Europatour kocht er gemeinsam mit Kollegen und Kolleginnen aus ganz unterschiedlichen Ländern. In München traf ich ihn beim gemeinsamen Dinner mit dem Münchner Koch Toru Nakamura. Ich wollte von ihm wissen, wie man Geschmack, Herkunft und Innovation in Einklang bringt, was ein Gericht zu einem Signature-Dish macht und warum der Respekt vor der Zutat oft wichtiger ist als jede Technik. Wenn dir diese Episode von Gin & Talk gefällt, folge uns bei Spotify, Apple Podcasts oder wo auch immer du gerne Podcasts hörst und hinterlasse uns eine gute Bewertung. Diese und viele weitere Episoden findest du auch als Videopodcast auf unserem YouTube-Kanal. Jetzt aber viel Spaß beim Zuhören. Schön, dass ihr alle wieder mit dabei seid.
2 Menschen, eiskalte Drinks und eine Menge Zeit für ein persönliches Bargespräch. Herzlich willkommen an unserem Bartresen. Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge Gin and Talk. Mach es dir gemütlich, lehn dich zurück und tauche ein in die verrucht düstere Atmosphäre unserer Studiobar.
Julien, it's so nice to have you here in our studio in Munich. We met last night because you've been cooking together with one of our Gin & Talk alumni, actually, Toru Nakamura, at his amazing restaurant here in Munich. And we had a fun night with a lot of good food, a couple of your signature dishes.
Glad to hear that.
So great to see you again. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this. And I hope you had a good time last night. It was my first time, in fact, cooking in Germany ever. And my first time cooking in Munich. And we decided to do it with Toru, who is doing a fantastic job. And I met him a couple of times in the previous year, but without really knowing him. And getting to work with him in his restaurant with his team was really quite special.
So you're doing that also over the summer in like different locations?
That's right, yeah. Because my restaurant in Singapore is under renovation right now. So rather than taking some long holidays, we decided to do a little tour of Europe with the help of Christian that you met last night, who has put together this fabulous 4 location where we are touring and partnering with people that we like and admire, and we want to get inspired by them as well. So the first stop was in restaurant Jordner in Copenhagen, which is also a 3 Michelin star restaurant. Second stop was yesterday and the day before with Toru in the center of Munich. And the next destination will be a restaurant called Ocean in the Algarve region of Portugal with a 2 Michelin star chef called Hans Neuer. And the last stop is with Paolo Casagrande in his restaurant called La Sarté in Barcelona. So 4 different countries, 4 different chefs, 4 different collaboration for us. And I always like to say that it's really nice to break the routine of the restaurant, do something different, and that we always learn something. Always learn something and always come back richer in some way.
Yeah, I was just about to say, because you're running your restaurant Odette for quite a time now. And you know, if you would always stay in your own kitchen, always doing your working with your amazing team, but at the same time, it's important to get some external inspiration 100%. All the time, right?
100%. The restaurant is so that is turning 10 this year. It's been a decade of an incredible journey, surrounded by a team of amazing people, and we just wanted to, you know, take a little pause, refresh a bit the dining room and the kitchen, and also, you know, get inspired again to restart for the next 10 years, hopefully. So that's also one of the reasons why we do that. It's nice to, you know, some time to put the pause button on in this crazy industry that is never stopping. And again, to get inspired, to get to meet new people, to get to travel, and to get to learn new things. And that's the beauty about our job is like, you know, when you reach a certain level, you think that, you know, you know a lot, but more you know, less you know, in fact, and so many things to discover.
So you grew up in the Auvergne region in France, right, in the family of farmers, I think, four generations.
That's
of,
right, yeah.
Of farmers. So you kind of learned it from the start, how to work with great ingredients and how to actually source them.
Yeah, it's... I'm coming, I have a very humble background. My family didn't really have much money, but we always eat very well back home because of the farm, the landscape, and the terroir that we have around us. So my family has a little farm, and we grow vegetables, we raise animals, chicken, we have our pork. There's a lot of tradition when it comes to food on that region. So I've been lucky enough to grow up in this environment, and I realized while growing up how fortunate I was. I was explaining yesterday, Christian, that, you know, maybe at school you don't have the coolest sneakers, but you realize after a while that what you eat is better than what other kids are eating. And we are, this is a luxury for me. I realize after a while that the test education that I've received is quite unique. And I cherish every moment of that period of my life. And that's what inspired me to become a chef, to work in a restaurant, to open my restaurant. And as you know, the restaurant is named after my grandma, Odette, because she's really the person that showed me how much happiness, passion, and smile you can give to people through food, cuisine, and produce.
Yeah, you just mentioned your grandma. Do you have like a special moment in your memory where you realize that food is not only about satisfying your hunger, but can be something special, can be about pleasure, can be about creating something?
I think it's not about one very precise moment, but it's about all this period of my life when I was still living in the countryside, and when we put something on the table and we share it with the family, it brings to every face around the table a big smile, a big moment of sharing happiness. And it's quite difficult to describe, but in the most simple way, you know, you're just happy to eat with your family, food that you love, with great produce that has been raised with care. And it's a kind of a celebration of Mother Nature that put people together. And that's also the beauty of food, I think.
At some point in time in your career, you started kind of traveling the world and figuring out where you want to be, or where you want to end up and build your own place.
Yeah.
How did you end up in Singapore? Was there like a specific reason why you're Singapore?
It's pure hazard and pure opportunity of life. I was working after doing my class in France and working in France. I started to travel a little bit, and I work in French Polynesia in the island of Bora Bora. It's really quite exotic and paradise over there, but after a year on the island, it's quite small. So my boss back then proposed a few of the team members to go and open the same hotel called St. Regis in Singapore, which I said yes immediately, because I've always been interested by Asia and by the food and by the culture. And I really wanted to see something different. So I arrived there in 2008. I stayed for 2 years. Then I moved back to London. Then I had the opportunity to come back. I really liked Singapore at first. I didn't really like the job that I had. It was more like a hotel job where you have to reply to a lot of protocol and politics, which is not really quite for me. I'm not good at it. So yeah, you know, I had a 2-year contract. I was supposed to be there for 2 years, and then total now is nearly 15 years. Yeah.
Back then, when you arrived in Singapore, was there something that really surprised you about Singaporean cuisine? Because, you know, we all have, if you think about it, without having been there, we've got our pictures on our minds. And then you arrive there and you really get to know the culture and the cuisine and many restaurants. And then you realize maybe the reality is something else or something more.
I think the most surprising, shocking and exciting part, in fact, was the diversity. Because I only work in French or Western restaurant. And the diversity that is really proper to Singapore because of its strategic geographic location and because that is really a crossroad of Southeast Asia, it makes it a melting pot with people from different nationalities, religion, and just origin, you know. So these people met in that little island and create what is Singapore cuisine about today. And it can be translated into many dishes. And it has really given to the cuisine of Singapore a special twist, a special accent. And it's this mix that makes it super interesting. And I was also surprised that you can actually eat something very substantial and very good for a couple of dollars. And this is something that I think in Europe we are struggling to do. To do cheap and good, complicated.
Also, your team and your kitchen at Odette is very diverse with different backgrounds.
We had up to 12 nationalities at some point. So really between like 6, 8, 10, 12 nationalities. We have mostly people from Asia. So Singapore, Malaysia, Korea, Taiwan, Japan, Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand. And then we always have a few European as well. I had British, German, Italian, Greek, French. So it's really a nice melting pot that is, I think, quite nice to work and to be surrounded by people from different origin and nationalities also create a little buzz and sense of excitement for the team. Yeah.
Today, your kitchen is kind of a mix between your French roots and your Singaporean home, more or less. How would you describe your style? Like, what is the balance between those two roots?
It's French cuisine that is seasoned by Asia. It's French cuisine because that's the way I learned. So, you know, it's a French cuisine that has a slowly infused zest of Asia through produce, technique, taste, and aesthetic. When I first arrived in Singapore, I was cooking something very French. And then slowly we have infused a lot of Asian sensibilities, I would say. And I think it balanced the cuisine quite nicely. I think that we are known for this style of cuisine now. And I much happier cooking this style of food today than what I was doing 10 years ago. I think it's more, you know, it's about the sense of place. I cannot cook the same food in Singapore than Paris or London, you know. I like the people to feel that, okay, when they come, they have this very special thing that, you know, there is this French base, but you have this little Asian touch. Without going into the fusion kind of cuisine, it's just about, you know, having a very precise seasoning that will give a little hint of Asia without going into the too much confusion.
So last night at Toro, we've seen some and tasted some of your signature dishes.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is there like a certain moment where you realize you've created something that could become a future signature dish? Or what makes a signature dish a signature dish in your...
I think it's the people that will decide that, not you. I think that you can do some creation, you can try some recipes, but ultimately what become a signature dish, it's the clientele and the guest that will decide. And they will say, okay, this is great, this is a great dish. And if you keep hearing the same thing for weeks, months, and years, okay, that you must have done something special. I think it's quite pretentious to say, okay, that's going to be my signature dish. No, I think it's always an exchange of feedback and of taste, you know. If many people tell you, oh, this langoustine is great, okay, maybe it's a good dish. If they tell you, oh, this chocolate dessert is great, maybe it's a good dish. But I think, yeah, it's the people that decide who is the signature dish and not the chef.
We already talked about Singapore. You talked about a little island you've been to, which has been too small for you, but Singapore is also not that big.
Well, it's a big city of 6 million people. It's a small territory, but it's very populated. So, but it's true, it's quite small. So that's why I like to go out and I like to visit people. And I've been fortunate enough to travel a lot in Asia. And I just like, you know, to go and meet people, taste culture. That's super important, I think.
If we talk about ingredients and the sourcing, is it more difficult in Singapore because it has this like limited space and you all kind of have to source a lot from outside?
It's funny because this is a very good question. When I first arrived in Singapore, I realized it was the opposite of where I was coming from. Because where I'm coming from, you have hundreds of ingredients around you and you are surrounded by terroir, agriculture, produce and farmer. Singapore is a paradox. You have nothing but everything. There's very little agriculture land on the island. 90% of what you are going to eat is imported from another country. Saying that, the logistic and the desire for good food is so big that you can have access to anything from anywhere. And our job as a chef is really to pick the right ingredient from the right place at the right moment. And in that sense, for me, it was really like quite disturbing at first. But then we have put a politic of sourcing in place that is so precise now that we can really get the best of the best from many different places in the world. And I have one guy in my kitchen that is dedicated to that. Dedicated to sourcing, calling the farmer, calling the fisherman, calling the producer of the pigeon that you tasted last night. Really to build relationship with some of the suppliers and farmers is super important. And I will say that 50% of a great chef is cooking, but 50% of a great chef is sourcing and know how to purchase and know how to pick ingredients. And that's I think something we don't teach enough in cooking school. Techniques is one thing, okay? You need to learn the skill and that's fine. But purchasing is another thing. Choosing the product, understanding the seasonality, understanding the terroir of where you are cooking, and also make sure that, you know, we are limiting wastages. We know how to use every single part of the fish, not only the heart of the salmon or the heart of the sea bass, but what can I do with the head? What can I do with the tail? What can I do with the bones? And, you know, this is something I think that really interests me a lot.
So I did, of course, some research on you and I watched a couple of interviews with you. And I was, at some point in time, I realized, if I would have to kind of describe you, you are kind of a mix between being playful on one hand, being very disciplined on the other, and kind of bringing those two worlds together without ever forgetting each one of them. How do you balance those two worlds?
I like the way you said it. Honestly, I think it's about my sweet spot, and I think everybody is different. Some chefs like to be very avant-garde and very creative and maybe with the risk of shocking people when it comes to food. For me, my sweet spot is between tradition, innovation, and excitement. I think if you find a middle spot on this, you have, with the tradition, you have a high chance to score high when it comes to taste, pleasure of eating, and also look of the dishes. And the innovation will bring this little zest of something quite difficult to describe, but that make your food different, that make your food unique, and that make your cuisine yours. So for us, we always aim for that middle ground, but without forgetting the tradition that is super important. And the solfège of French cuisine, the basic of French cooking, and I think if you have to learn it really nice when you are a young chef, to be able to draw lines after and to find your own identity in this very wild world. But again, the basic, I think it's nice to have a really strong basic. And for me, I learned them with a chef called Bernard Andrieux, where I spent 2.5 years learning roasting, braising, sauce, fumée, jus, etc., etc. And this is the foundation of a cuisine that brings gourmandise and happiness to people.
If you're young self would sit here, the one who just started out becoming a chef, and you would tell him about all the awards you got, the 3 Michelin stars and all the other lists you're on and everything. What would he tell you?
Wow. I think it will be a bit scary, to be honest, because it was never planned, you know. It was not a personal goal to have 3 Michelin stars. It was not a personal goal to go into this or this list. My goal was to have my own restaurant. This is, was my dream. And then everything came after, but it's just cherry on the cake, I would say. And we work most importantly for our guests and the people that come, spend some time with us, make the sacrifice to spend 3-4 hours with us, pay money, drink wine, you know, and we are working for them mainly. I think the mistake of what many young chefs can do now is to work for stars or work for rank, any kind of ranking or stuff. I think coming back to the word restaurant and the meaning of restaurant is restaurer and restaurateur. It's something that we tend to forget in the modern days of dining. And I think it's dangerous. It's nice to be here for your guests, to talk to them, to see them, to make sure they're having a good time, because this is the job of a chef. It's cooking, but it's also being hospitable and make sure that the people that come spend some time at your restaurant are having a fantastic time. And if by doing that, you can transform this moment into memory for them, then it's this is the biggest reward, you know?
So how important are those awards and those stars and everything for your daily work today? Is there like, you know, maybe even a certain strategy where you would say we have to maintain certain things or we have to do certain things to do?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, when you got 1-star, 2-star, or 3-star, you want to keep them. I think in order to keep them, you have to, in our case, we have 3 Michelin stars. So we have to try to get the 4th one in order to keep the 3-star and being consistent, keep pushing, and consistency and flavor is, I think, the key. And to do that, you have to be surrounded by amazing people around, from your dishwasher to the guy who unpacked the asparagus to a great sommelier, great wine program. It's really a teamwork. It's really an ecosystem that is fragile, and every single individual in that ecosystem is super important, not only the chef. I always treat my staff like family because I spend a lot of time with them, and sometimes we spend more time at work than with our family, but I think it's really nice that everyone understands his role, where he's coming from, what he has to do, and where I want to bring them. And by working together in the same direction, he allows us to do this kind of exercise. He allows us to be performant, consistent, and still stay excited.
We already talked about inspiration and sources of inspiration. Of course, you've got in Singapore, you have all the Asian countries around you with like amazing cuisines and flavors and ingredients, and your home country, France, of course, as well, with a great tradition of cooking and doing that. Are there other regions that are particularly interesting for you, like where you say, that could be interesting to dig deeper into that local cuisine to figure out how they are doing things and maybe learn how
to Canada. Actually, I think what I'm really reading and excited about right now is the wide diversity of Chinese cuisine, not when it comes to taste, but when it comes to texture. Because texture, I've noticed that it's something that really can change a dish, really can make a dish memorable. And the way they approach texture in places like Yunnan, for example, or Yunnan, or Sichuan cuisine, you have this kind of collagen fattiness that is quite difficult to understand for a Westerner. But I think when it's done very nicely into a very precise Westernized cuisine, it can be really interesting. And right now, this is something that inspired me, for example. I'm not inspired more by dish or flavor, but more by texture, techniques, or, you know, for example, this there's something called wok e in Southeast Asia, which means basically the umami that creates the charcoal cooking on the wok. This is something super interesting, you know, you can apply this on fish, vegetable, meat, and you can have some trial and try to replicate this flavor. I think if you will be in Japan, they will probably say it's kind of umami, or it's part of the umami flavor. But I'm really interested into like these layers of texture and flavor more than in a very specific cuisine or taste or dish.
What was the last dish you had that really blew your mind?
Tomato salad today for lunch. cooked at the garden with Toru. I mean, we had it a few hours ago. And again, you know, beautiful tomato that has not seen the fridge, no pesticide, no shit, just the pure produce, and seasoned with the herbs from his garden. In fact, it was shiso, a little bit of verbena. Perfect temperature, perfect setting, perfect texture, juiciness of tomato, complexity, slight freshness from the shiso. Ouais, that was a great dish. That was actually a great dish that blew my mind. I haven't get a tomato salad that good for a long time. Yeah.
If I looked at you last night working together with Toru, yeah, but also if I look at other chefs collaborating with each other, it especially those 2-star and 3-star star chefs, it kind of feels like a big community, not like kind of a friendly competition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we always pick the people that we want to work with. And again, I really wanted to get inspired by great people. And because of the help of Christian, Monsieur l'Ambassadeur, bon vivant, he put us a list of people that really we like, we love, and we know we are going to get along. We are pretty much all the same generation of chefs. We are speaking the same language in different countries. But I think it's a generation of chefs that not fighting against each other, helping each other to create a dining movement that is interesting, refreshing, rejuvenated, and fun for the guest. And because of that, I think we speak in the same language. So you can put me in Toru's kitchen, I'll be very comfortable. He can come in my kitchen, and he will come in my kitchen, he will be comfortable. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, we speak the same language, that's it.
Because you already mentioned Christian, I asked him that question last night, so I've got to ask you as well. What's the one restaurant, or maybe we realized maybe 2 or 3 is even easier, but what is the one restaurant you would cry about if they would close?
It will be Amis Field in New Zealand, because I haven't been yet and I really want to go. And I met the chef Von, the friend. And first of all, my dream was always to go to New Zealand at some point, and I never been to New Zealand. And I think he's doing some amazing job with a very unique approach of cooking that is really raw, brutal, and delicious in the same time. So I hope they don't close because I haven't been yet. But I love the Chef Von has become a really good friend, and I think he's cooking something very unique out there. Something that's really worth the travel.
I already mentioned you've got a lot of awards, stars, and everything. Is there, besides maintaining, of course, the quality and the service level and the feeling that your guests have, is there like a goal, something you still want to achieve, something that is on your bucket list for your career?
Yeah, there's something that we are, there's several things that I'm still young, you know. So there's a couple of things. First, I wanted to document the 10 years of Odette, and I wanted to make a book out of it. So that is something that we are almost done, and I wanted to publish a book about Odette and what is it about, what we have done for 10 years. And we will be publishing a book with Faidon, and that will be going live next spring. So that's, I'm very happy about it. Number two was to become a fine dining institution in Asia, which is a big statement and, you know, a big hop. But I think that we are on the right track to do so. So I want to keep carry on and keep inspiring the younger generation of chefs. And number three is at some point, go back to Europe and work on a new project on a restaurant that is located and surrounded by product. That is my dream. And maybe just a small space with very humble dishes that just please and bring happiness to people.
So then I'll wish you all the luck for all those endeavors.
Thank you very much.
And hope that you'll achieve them, of course.
Yeah.
And thank you that you took the time to come over to our place and of course for the amazing food last night. See you soon and thank you.
Thank you. Danke schön. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Das war's leider schon. Die letzte Runde ist ausgetrunken, das Gespräch zu Ende. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Bitte nimm Rücksicht auf die Nachbarn und sei leise, wenn du die Bar verlässt. Aber vergiss auf keinen Fall, den Abonnieren-Button zu klicken. Gin and Talk ist ein Podcast von 48 Forward, produziert in den 48 Forward Studios in München.